Today we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. If you have your Bible, would you please open it and turn to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and beginning at the 10th verse. Let's read that. Let's stand, and please follow along as I read these two verses. The first letter of Peter, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 10th verse. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Today, Elder John Huang would be speaking and sharing with us on the message that's entitled, Good Stewards of God's Grace.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. Later on this morning, we will install the cell group leaders and co-workers of the congregation. For that reason, I chose this topic to share with you. From the text we just read, you can see, one can easily see there's three points that I can share with you. One, the command to serve. Second, the manner of that service. The third, the purpose of that service. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, each one should serve. Very clear command, each one speaking now to every one of us, each one, not just to the deacons, to the co-workers, but to all of us. Each one should serve. Old, the young, male, female, each one should serve. A command. Jesus called us to follow him. What's that content? He calls us to run after him, to imitate him. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. This is an example that we are called to follow. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So should we. On the night he was betrayed, he took off his outer garments and wrapped a towel around his waist and began to wash the disciples' feet. This is not a show, some as we would see these days, the Pope at a given day, that he will wash some poor man's feet. In the scripture we read, he has taken up the very nature of a servant. The word servant here is a softened word for slave, for bound slave. This is the nature of that service, and this is what God has called us to do. To serve, diakoneo, this word, and the slave, the same, shares the same root. This word, deacon, also shares the same root. We should be willing to serve as if we're God's bond slaves. You know, the difference between a servant, an employee, and a slave is that a slave cannot quit. If you are an employee, you had it, you say, I quit. But as a servant of God, or bond slave of God, you don't have that privilege. You can't quit. Now, the reason that God called us to serve, not because he wants us to perfect our salvation or even to achieve our salvation. No, salvation is already achieved, already accomplished by Christ on the cross. And we appropriate that in faith and by his grace. Our service is not to obtain the gift of salvation, but to experience the power of that salvation and the goodness of God. He has already given us gifts, equipped us, so to speak, so that we can serve. He called us to serve, and he equipped us first so that we can serve. So whoever has been given much, in the scripture, whoever has been given much more will be given to him. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken away from them. We are called to serve with whatever we have received. Here the original Greek is in the aorist tense, that is a simple past tense. God in our past has given us, this part referring to the point where we receive our salvation, has given each one of us gifts. These gifts, when he ascended on high and led captives in his train, what he have he gave gifts to man, gifts to everyone, gifts to all of us, and the purpose of that gift is to serve. And if we don't serve, we gradually lose that. Now, how do we serve him? How do we sign up, so to speak? How do we go and serve the Creator of the heaven and earth, our Savior and our Lord? If you go to White House these days, well, of course you can't, you'll be arrested. But if you go to the White House and tell Obama, I can sing pretty well, let me serve you, it probably won't work. What do you think? Well, first of all, you think you can sing pretty well, but America is a big country. There are a lot of people who can do much better than you can. I am the president. Yet above this president, there's this great creator of the whole universe, our God, and we can serve him. He called us to serve him. This is a privilege. It's hard to imagine. It is a privilege. It's really hard to imagine. How do we sign up? How do we sign up? As long as you are willing. If you are willing, God has already called you to experience the power of that salvation, the nature, the essence of the salvation. It's not sitting at home, oh, I'm going to go to heaven someday. It's much more than that. It's much more than that. You experience that, the richness of that salvation. Part of it is through serving each other, as the text says. When I became a Christian, that was 1963. Most of you are not born yet, but that's the first year I came to the United States, in September. In December, there's Urbana 63. I took a bus. I went to Urbana. That's my first Christian meeting. I never went to a Christian meeting. That's the first one. Whoa, so many students, maybe 9,000 or so, all gathered in this great institution. And Paul Little and people like John Stout, they great speakers. Whoa, my eyes opened. This is such a challenging message. And the last day, they have communion, and there was a call. It's a missionary conference, right? Whoever wishes to serve, please stand up. I didn't know what's going on, but I thought, well, God is my Savior, and God is the creator of the whole universe. He's even greater than my advisor, you see. If I consent to serve him, I mean, I lose nothing. Like standing up and say, I'm going to serve him, right? I didn't know what I'm doing. I just thought this is a reasonable thing to do. I stood up. In spite of my ignorance, in spite of the fact I didn't really know what's going on, because 3 months later I'll be baptized. I wasn't even baptized yet. I just thought I want to serve. God didn't reject me. He did not reject me. This will to serve him, he cherished. As later on in my life, that was almost 50 years ago, I went back to the school, got baptized. A year later, formed the Chinese Bible study at Cornell, the CBS. That's where it came about. And then in my whole life, I see God opens doors for me to serve Him. The question is always, are you willing? So at some stage, I said to the Lord, as long as there's a chance you give me to serve, I will not skip that. I'll always accept your call. Try it. You'll see how the Lord will lead you. God called us to serve, and He also gave us gifts to serve Him. How do we serve Him then? We must serve Him faithfully, as is stated here, as a faithful stewards, with whatever gifts that's given to us. So, faithfulness starts with submission. Faithfulness starts with submission. Remember one day, maybe 2 years after Christ's ministry, was in a wilderness, was starting to get dark, no place to get hamburgers, no McDonald's around, and people getting hungry. What should they do? The disciples said, well, I'll send them to get something to the villages, to get something to eat. What did Jesus say? Matthew 14. You give them something to eat. A command to serve. You give them something to eat. What do they have? They have nothing. But Andrew had this little kid. So he brought this little kid. This little kid has 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. So the kid brought this loaf, the 5 loaves, 2 small fishes to Christ. Familiar story. Christ gave thanks. And then he gave these loaf and fish to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. This miracle was recorded in Matthew 14, Mark 6, John 6, and Luke 8. Every gospel recorded this. It's a tremendous thing. He asked the disciples to distribute, not to manufacture. The disciples do what they're called to do. And God did not command, He will not command what He has not provided. God provides. We serve. The result was 5,000 ate. The disciples ate. The child ate. All were full. You can imagine there was great joy in that wilderness that evening. It was a simple act of willingness to serve. Gifts, meaning here in the second part of verse 10, grace in its various forms. Gifts are grace. Gifts, the giftings, the gifts that you have, some know how to govern, some know how to heal, some can pray, some can comfort others, others can plan, others can counsel, others can teach, some can sing, some can preach, some have money, gifts, various gifts. Some have time, various. You all have something. Talents, ability, something God has endowed you with. All of you have some form of gifts. And we are supposed to be the faithful stewards of the grace. These are the grace in its various form. So we cannot be proud of what we have. If you have ability, don't look down at other people. What do you have that you did not have received? Something that we have because we received it from the Lord. And if you did not receive, and if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? In other words, we have to recognize the gifts we have belongs to Christ, and God has given this to us. We should not be proud. I'm better than you. Nor should you be shy. This is a gift God has given to you to serve. Oh, the Chinese sometimes, especially my generation, I guess you guys are okay. If you can do something, you're very afraid of people to praise you. If you accept praise, it's accepting that sentence or something. No, I can't say, no. No, it's not about us. It's not about you. God has given us grace so that we can serve others. And we are commanded to do so. All must serve according to the gifts that were given. The scripture says, faithfully administrate these gifts. A good administrator maximizes the gifts to its best, to benefit others. Faithfulness meaning do the best you can, take joy in what you do, and take pride in what you do. These are things God has given to you. In 1985, I attended a conference in Cambridge University. This is a very old institution. In England, at least this 25, 26 years ago, the lawn on the campus is almost sacred. You cannot walk on the lawn. It has a big sign, "Do not walk on the grass," as little words following, "Except fellows." You see, fellows are, I mean, they can, because they are absent-minded, whatever reason, except fellows. So we take these, I take this very seriously. I was wondering, if only fellows can walk on the lawn, do they mow it? Of course they don't, but I saw lawn mowing on that week that I stayed in Cambridge. A guy came out with a lawnmower, it's a motorized thing. Maybe surprise you. Yes, it's motorized already. And he had this his lawnmower come out. And he was in suits, with ties, with jackets, with leather shoes. And he mowed this lawn. I mean, I've never seen a lawnmower like that. I was stunned. And he, as if he was very proud of what he's doing. And he nodded at me and he mowed the lawn. I said, "No, that's not why I mowed the lawn at home at all." He was given this task. He was serving this task faithfully, with joy, with dignity. This is something to be proud of. Because he's serving Cambridge University. What's Cambridge compared with our Lord? If you're given something to do, do you have the same sense of honor, same sense of joy and privilege that God has given you something to do? Not what you can do, but rather with the strength God provides. Here, provides is a verb in the present tense, which in the Greek means that this is something that God continuously provide, always provide. In other words, what we need, God provides us on and on. So that the strength that he provides will not run out. If you dare to try it, you'll see that it's pretty hard to run dry or burn out with God's supply of his grace in this way. Faithfulness means that you rely on him, depend on him, be obedient to him. Be obedient to him. Not to do things according to your will, but to the one who calls you. The difference between a servant and a master is not in what they do. They can do the same thing. The difference lies in whose idea they're following. The servant is the one who executes the master's idea, command. That makes him a servant. That will make us a servant. We used to have a servant at home many, many years ago in Taiwan. We called him Lao Zhou. We don't know his real name. He's from the northern part of the country. He likes to cook rice very, very hard because that's the way he likes the rice to be cooked. But we're from the southern part of China. My mother always tell him, "Don't cook it so hard. We like it soft." He says, "Don't eat soft rice. You have to eat hard rice." In Chinese, this is, I mean, has other meanings to it as well. I mean, good man, eat hot rice. So he refused to cook hot, soft rice, even though, I mean, all the family would say, "Please, soft rice. No soft rice." Now, who is the soft servant? Who's the master? It's not in what you do. It's in your obedience that classifies you or that specifies you as a good servant. Third, what's the purpose of the service? In all things, God may be praised or to be glorified. There are many versions of this translation. When we serve, it is not about us. It is not what you get out of the service. It is not about your ambition. It is not about your vision. It's all about God. All about the one who is our master, who gave us the gifts to serve each other. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in 1939, he was a respected professor at Union Seminary in New York. 1939, that's the year the Second World War will start. He was a German. He was young, well respected, has a comfortable, respected life in a great city. September 1st, German invade Poland. The Second World War start. Bonhoeffer took, and near the end of that year, took the last steamer, the last boat back to Germany. He knew that the Christians, the church in Germany is going to face a big task, a big tribulation. He wants to go and serve them. God, he sensed God's calling for him to go back to his people. To serve God is that God may be praised. Not that we are in a good shape. That we get the glory. There's always this issue of to be and to do. I'll just share a few reflections with you, then we can go and install our leaders. We're called to serve. First, we must be that right person. Who we are must first be right. This, we always have the sense, the Christian has always had the sense, that whatever we do comes out from what we are. So, I think in the 18th century, Immanuel Kant, in his philosophy, he sort of spoke to that. He said, to be is to do. Whatever you do, it's in your being. To be is to do. The 19th century, Nietzsche no longer believed this. Man evolved. Man doesn't have any intrinsic purpose to its being. We are a result of an accident. What purpose can you speak of? So he said, to do is to be. This is existence precedes essence. Existentialism. That's exactly what that is. To do is to be. In our century, we get so confused. We have Frank Sinatra. He came out, he said, do, be, do, be, do. No longer care about this. But that, in the end, is really the key issue. God is more concerned about us than our work. We are not just channels of His work, of His love, but the object of His love. Our life, the way we live our life, is our basic testimony. This, Jesus said, is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. This is to my Father's glory, God's glory, that you bear much fruit, the work that we do, showing yourself to be my disciples. In order to have fruit, first, there must be a living tree. If the tree is dead, there's no fruit. Fruit is always a product of a life. God calls us to bear fruit. First of all, we must ask, do we have the right life? Otherwise, you'll be a shrunken tree. God cares about that much more than what we bring up to show Him. So we must have that eternal perspective to fix our eyes on Jesus. To fix our eyes in Jesus. We're called to follow Him. Once I was driving in Houston. You know, people in Houston drive big cars. That was 1988, sometimes cars even bigger then. And they have guns in their cars. And they drive fast. And they drive, I don't know, you think New Jersey drivers are bad. Drive Texas. Once I was driving there, I see this guy who was a little bit impatient. He cannot pass me. So he goes to the shoulder and passes several cars and he gets stuck. He goes to the shoulder. He cuts back. Oh boy. He didn't mean it. This guy's cutting and all he knows. I was like, look at this bad driver. Look at him. Look at, how can he drive like this? Look at that. Oh, almost have gotten into a traffic accident myself because of watching him. I wasn't watching what I'm doing there. Have you gotten into an accident by watching other bad guys, or people who doesn't drive well? You become... Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't say, "Whoa, look at him, look at the church, look at him, look at him." No good. We are all fallible, but not Christ. He gave us gifts to serve Him. Keep our eyes on Him. No matter how our situation may appear to you, that's irrelevant. You are called to follow Him. You are called to serve Him. Whoever serves me, Jesus said, must follow me as a slave to serve others. And where I am, my servants also will be. John 12:26. My Father will honor the one who serves me. My Father will honor the one that follows, that serves me. You know what honor means? Give you praise? Well, praise be to God, not to us. What does that mean? Honor means it has value. If you go to a bank, they honor your check. What does it mean? That your check has money in there. It has value. Our life has value. He will honor me. Honor you. So we must try to serve each other. We'll be installing the co-workers for the congregation in a moment. And each one of us, we're not just participants, we just watch what they are doing. We're called to serve each other. There's a part that you have to do as well. You say, what can I do? Well, seek a department, seek someone to pray for him, to join this effort, to be part of it. It's a command from the Lord, it's not from me. Know your gifts, find your station. These are where you start. DWJD, what would Jesus do? Old frail phrase. But still, this is the ultimate question that demands an answer. We must try to follow Him to the best as we can. It's our privilege. In some sense, it's our life. I appreciate the opportunity that I have, that I can speak to you briefly. And my prayer is that the church learn to serve each other with the love of Christ. With the gifts that's given each one of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for giving each one of us the gifts that we can serve people with. Father, I pray that you help us to realize the preciousness of that gift, the preciousness of our salvation, and the power in that salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we pray that you'll build up this church in love, build us this church in the service of each one to the other. I pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.